You turn into Hebrews 4 again. I really do my best to pay attention what the Holy Spirit is saying through every one that he has speak here at the prayer center. And so listening to Nathan and Ruthie and Alan, and trying to get the overall message, what he's saying. And if you hadn't noticed, he seems to be saying to Nathan, we need to quit sinning. No amens at all? What? Are y'all going to the same church I'm going to? I mean, dear Lord, I mean, it's like he's just hammering, you know, it's time to grow up. You know, grow up, believe the word, obey that new nature, deal with it. With me, he seems to be really emphasizing, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Let's quit thinking just inside the four walls of the church and let's go conquer the land. And Tulsa's in revival and Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. And Ruthie, you're wonderfully and fearfully made. And Alan, he's like the safety line for all of us, trying to keep us all from jumping off the cliff. Amen. He's trying to get us to walk in a little love while we conquer. Hallelujah. So this passage in Hebrews 4 is so teaching about unbelief. See, when it comes to revival and going forth to kick down the gates and set the captives free, we're supposed to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. Everything that He has said in His Word, we're supposed to go forth and from that Logos, we are to speak forth the commands, the rhema, in the name of Jesus. And that's how we co-labor with the Holy Spirit to set the captives free. Amen? You know, it's really going to be hard to do that, though, if you're full of unbelief. And this passage so deals with unbelief. And it's not just unbelief in regarding those kind of things, but regarding who you really are in Christ. See, a soldier that really, okay, goes through the training and he's going to be on the battlefield, but if he doesn't really believe that when he pulls the trigger, his gun will fire, and he doesn't obey commands, and he's in the wrong place at the wrong time, and when he gets there, he's afraid to use his gun. I mean, how much conquering is that guy going to do? Not very much. I nearly did this lesson, but he said it's not ready yet. Here's previews of coming attractions. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? So there's a title coming, I don't know how soon. Develop a reputation in hell. Hell needs to know who you are. And they're not going to take your word for it. That's good. Hell is not going to take your word for it. You're going to have to show them. Amen? That would be a good title, wouldn't it? Well, you're not going to develop a reputation in hell by staying full of unbelief. None of us are. We're going to have to, this Logos, the famous verse, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's really talking about using the word, what God has already said, the Logos, and using it like a sword to cutting, this is the internal war, cutting away imaginations, high things, reasonings that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And if we don't do that, in fact, let's read it again. We got time now. He's got one major point to get across tonight. It won't take long. Hebrews, let's start back in 3. And really, you almost have to start back in chapter 1, verse 1 to really keep it, because it's full of wherefores and therefores all the way back. But let's start in chapter 3, verse 7 again. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. I think we could apply that to the church today. That right there is the reason we're not in revival. We err in our heart. We don't believe what He said, and therefore we're not having what He said. We don't know His ways. We're still full of our own reasonings. We still think about ourselves based on our experience and not what His Word says. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Now, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. We're going to look at a minute here at the report that the spies gave. And it says they gave an evil report of the land. Now, what's amazing about that, if you'll study out what they said, everything that they said was factual. The sons of Anak did live there. They were of great stature. They were very warlike. Everything they said was factual. How could God call that an evil report? Well, it became evil when they came to a different conclusion than what the conclusion God had already said. When they said, based on what we see, we be not able to take the land. Now God calls that an evil report. The title of tonight's message is Conquering Every I Can't. Conquering Every I Can't. In your personal life. Okay? So, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Now, in a moment, we're going to look at that hardening, exactly what He's talking about. For some, when they heard, now they all heard the same thing. I have given you the land. I will send my angel before you. Like a hornet, I'll drive the enemy out of the land. They all heard the same thing. Isn't that right? All right. When they heard, though, they provoked. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Now, he said through me this morning, I just thought it was an amazing sentence. If we don't deal with the unbelief in our life, we're not going to be any more effective at conquering the land than they were. Isn't that right? That's what this passage is teaching. We've got to use the Logos and mix it with faith. You'll see it in a minute. Mix it with faith to cut away reasonings, high things, imaginations, everything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, cut away every I can't. Because you can. All right? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that what? Believe not. And verse 18, now verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Well, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. If you don't mix faith with it, what does that mean? No matter what it feels like, no matter what it looks like. No matter what my emotions tell me, no matter what my reasonings tell me, no matter 1,000 people that failed before me, no matter any of that, what God says is truth. I am who He says I am. I have what He says I have. And I can do what He says I can do. Amen? Now that's faith and nothing else is. Mixing faith with the Word of God, that is how you do it. And it is a war. I remember going to war. I mean, when you've been smoking for 40-some-odd years like I had, your body is pretty addicted. Pretty doggone addicted. My body, I'll just tell you plain, it told me it's going to kill me. When I decided to finally turn around and face Goliath, man, I mean, my body told me it's going to kill me. Withdrawals and I know people go, quitting smoking, big deal. Well, it was tough for me. I'm sorry. I'm being transparent here. Okay, I could have quit 1,000 times. Wanted to quit more often than that. But I had, at some point, it's It's war to death. There's no going back. Body, if you kill me, I'm just going to die. But I am not turning tail and running anymore. It's time to face Goliath. Time to, how does Nathan to take the sword and cut Goliath's head off? See? All right. Verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And boy, there's so much teaching, but we got to stay with, he has a point tonight. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein. And they to whom it was first preached, here we go again, entered not in because of unbelief. Well, that's not going to be us. That's not going to be this generation. You hear me? Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. What does that mean, Brother Gary? We're going to look at it here in just a moment. For if, it says, for if Jesus, that should be Joshua. I love the King James, but that's Joshua. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Well, what will happen if we don't? You'll fall after the same example of unbelief. Can you see that? For the word of God, and here it is Logos, the word of God, what God has already said, his eternal word that will never change, what God has said about you, this word of God, for those that can't see me, I'm holding up my Bible, for the word of God, the Logos, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And by the way, you're not going to hide, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Let's look at the hardening. Go back to Numbers chapter 13. He says, harden not your hearts as they did in the provocation. What does that mean? What do you mean harden my heart? And he says it more than once in that passage, right? Harden not your hearts. If you're going to hear him, harden not your heart like they did. Well, let's go look at the hardening. So most of you know they came right up to the promised land. They sent in the 12 spies to go spy out the land. They found out it was a land that flowed with milk and honey. They brought back this cluster of grapes, and it was such a cluster, it took two men. They put that cluster of grapes on a pole between two men that they had to carry. Now, that's a cluster of grapes. Okay? I wonder what each grape, I wonder what it looked like. Was it a grapefruit? I don't know. Big grapes. Fruit is good. Okay? So picking it up in Numbers 13, verse 27. Now, this is the hardening. Keep it in mind. This is exactly what he's saying we're not to do. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. What is this land? What's it a type of? The abundant life. This is the life that he came to give us. But there's giants in the land squatting on your possessions. There's strongholds. Just like there was natural strongholds in that natural land, God had given them that land. That mean every stronghold was a squatter on land that belonged to Israel. And as long as that stronghold was there, that was land Israel did not get to enjoy. That was land that Israel did not get to enjoy the fruit of. Does it make sense to you? There's more abundant life for you than what you're walking in. And what's keeping you from walking there is imaginations and reasonings and high things that are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God. There's more freedom to walk in than we're walking in now. And there's more victory to walk in than we're walking in now. And I'm thinking external now, setting the captives free. Okay? Preaching good here. We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. And they showed him those grapes. Nevertheless, now here we go. Now, everything that he's about to say is factual. You go back and read it, you'll find out everything he says is factual. And that's not what God calls an evil report. You'll see here in a little bit. It's an evil report when you come to a conclusion different than the conclusion God said. Nevertheless, the people be strong. They were. The cities are walled. They were. And very great. They were. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Now, if you know who the children are, those are giants. They're like 16 foot tall. Their beds were 16 foot long. My goodness. I am 5 foot. I used to be 5'8". Last time I had it checked, up 5'7". Gravity seems to be winning at this point. But can you imagine? 16 foot tall. Holy con... that's really tall. And I'm sure all of them weren't that tall, but still, these are giants. We saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land. They were known as fierce warriors, the Amalekites. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites, they dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea. Now, everything he said, everything they're saying is factual. It's true. Okay? Remember that when you get a doctor's report. All they can do is give you the facts. But whose report shall you believe? You hear me? The arm of the Lord, the bare arm. I like it when it says the arm. I can just see him rolling up his sleeve. You got a problem, son? You want me to come on the scene here? I can just see the Lord rolling up his sleeves. You want to see my bare arm? Whose report you going to believe? God had given him a report too. I have given you the land. I have given it to you. Okay. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Now Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, this is Caleb at this point is like a type and a shadow of the real you. This is your new nature on the inside. Your new nature believes God. Caleb rose up and said, notice he didn't deny the facts. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb believed God's report. If God be for us, who can be against us? At another place, he says, their defense is departed from them. God is with us. Let us go up at once and possess it. Amen? All right. But the men that went up with him said, we can't. We be not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. Well, let me ask you, that may be true. Are they stronger than your God? Are they stronger than Christ in you? Are they stronger than the Holy Ghost? See, don't be focusing on you. Focus on Christ in you. What did Paul say? I can. He didn't say I can't. I can do all three things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do will overcome all your can't do's if you focus on Christ within. Amen. I got to quit saying amen because nobody's answering anyway. One time I heard Bronk on a tape. Wasn't that long ago. I was listening to Bronk on the internet. And nobody was amening him. He says, brother so-and-so, he says, can I pay you $5 for an amen? So after I got through with the message, I texted Bronk and said, now from that point in your message on, I amened 100 times. I'm sending you a bill for $500. You know? So he responded back, just know the check is in the mail. Yeah. Yeah, sure it is. But the men that went up, now we're starting the evil report here. But the men that went up with him said, well, no, we started it. Okay. We be not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. Now notice, when they said that, as long as they just stayed with the facts, God didn't really have a problem. He's not afraid of facts. You understand that? God's not afraid of no facts. But when they started believing the facts over his report, now he says, and they brought up an evil report of the land, with it which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now see, that's a lie. Later on, when Joshua went into the land, you know what he found out? Everybody there was quaking in their boots. They were so afraid of Israel. They heard what Israel had done on their journey there with other kings, and they were scared spitless. With a P, spitless. Did you hear that? Okay. But see, you start dwelling on the facts and looking at the natural circumstances, you will come to wrong conclusions. Their reasoning said, oh, we're grasshoppers in our sight, and we're grasshoppers in their sight. And that is a lie. No, they were not. They were, when they get to Jericho finally, the whole city is walled up and all the defenses and everything, because, here they come. The ones that where God showed the mighty wonders in Egypt and set them free, and was it Og and Gog or somebody else? There were several kings that they destroyed on the way, and they're like, we're next. Anyway, now when it says we be not able, if you write out in the margin of your Bible, you might want to put we be not able equals I can't for whatever reason. I can't this, I can't that. My question is, what giant is still intimidating you today? We are in a warfare without and within. God is raising up an army of believers who are going to push back the darkness. Do you hear me? Tulsa is in revival, and it's going to spread way beyond the city limits. We're going to push back the darkness, set the captives free, and bring true revival to this city, this country, and to this world. Now, to do that, we have to deal with unbelief. And that is exactly what this passage is talking about. And how you deal with it is with the Word of God. You're going to have to take what you see and make it bow its knee to the Word of God. This is where confession comes in. See, some people confuse confession with the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. No, this is a two-edged sword. Did you see that here in verse 12? The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's like a scalpel on the inside of you, cutting away everything that does not agree with the report of God. You see that? Confession is a big part of that. And over the years, myself and Dave and everybody that's taught here, when you're spending time in confession, you are not moving God. Clue phone, ring, ring. God already believes His Word. What do you think's going on? You think you're moving God? You're moving you. Why He had me walk the floor and speak the Word 4 hours a day? I hate to admit that my soul was so full of unbelief. It took that level of transformation and speaking it again and again and again and again. Until finally, you cross a line. Even though the circumstances don't change on the outside, you cross some kind of line on the inside. To me, it felt like I was stepping out of one room that I'd been in forever, and I stepped across the threshold into another room. And even though the circumstances hadn't changed, remember, I walked into that stack of bills on the table. I said, I don't live here anymore. That was the bottom of our roller coaster ride. I'm telling you, we've done a lot of things that seemed impossible financially over these years. And more is coming. Confession is part of using the sword internally. That's not the same as the sword of the Spirit, where we're going to set the captives free. He's trying to set you free. This sword used internally, confession, meditation, fasting, prayer, all of that is part of casting down imaginations, pulling down strongholds, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You're literally bringing your thoughts, your thought presses, your thought processes into the obedience of Christ. If Christ says, I've made you free from sin, what do you say? I'm free from sin. And even if that moment you're not, what I mean is you're still act. Now here, Nathan's going to get mad at me. No, he won't really. What I'm saying is don't quit. If you don't have 100% success on day one, do day two. But don't quit. And that's really what Dave was teaching. Dave wasn't justifying sin while you're in this warfare. But he was saying, the message was, don't quit. God will walk through hell with you in your faults as long as you continue to do those things that one day will spell out your freedom. He's not saying it's okay, but he is saying don't quit. Okay? Boy, I can tell you this. I learned it the hard way. Nathan, it's better just to believe Nathan, okay? Don't wait. If you're waiting for the desire to leave first, you'll be waiting the next time I see you. Now, that's where I made a mistake. I would have quit a long time sooner than I did if I'd have really understood that. Nope. Now, I am telling you, I retrained my body. My body now, it's been so long, nothing in me wants one of them again. And I don't ever want one. Even when stress comes, I don't even think of it anymore. And that's you just don't know how amazing that is to somebody that was really addicted. Same thing with alcohol. I never want to drink. My body at one time, there was a time when I would break out into a cold sweat. Now, we're talking many years ago, before 1980. But my body would have a reaction. I would start sweating if I realized I was somewhere where I didn't have access to alcohol. It's like, I got to have it. You talk about reasonings that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. That's just stupid before daylight. That's just believing a lie. You know? Okay. So what giant is intimidating you today? If we do not deal with unbelief, if we don't start taking the head off the shoulders of some of these giants that are still in our land, it's going to be hard to develop a reputation in hell. Now the sad part is, with them and with us, the only reason they did not conquer was because they chose to believe their senses, their reasonings, and their emotions rather than believing the Word of God. In a nutshell, there it is. It's time to deal with the I can'ts in every area of our lives. What is your I can't? I was sitting there at my computer right before we left the house to come down here. I said, Lord, just a list. These are the ones that came. I can't stop drinking. I can't stop smoking. I can't stop using illegal drugs. I can't stop misusing legal drugs. I can't stop fornicating. I can't stop watching pornography. How about this one? I can't stop worrying. I can't stop lying. On and on. If you want a more exhaustive list, then go to that works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. That's a pretty good list, but even that's not exhaustive. There's still more beyond that. Now, are you still in Hebrews 4? We're going to go one more verse. Let's look at verse 14. Seeing then, in other words, he's not through talking yet, based on everything that he said, seeing then that we have a great high priest. How many is glad you got a high priest? that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, it says in the King James. Most places that word is rendered confession. Let us hold fast our confession. What if Israel had held fast to their confession just like Caleb? What if all 12 had said, let us go up at once to possess it. We are well able to possess the land. What if they had held fast to their confession? And what if they had acted on it? They would have conquered the land. Amen? That was God's plan. So when he says, let us hold fast our profession, you can say, let us hold fast our confession. Confession of what? What is the subject? For the Logos, the Word of God, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hold fast your confession of the Word, what it says about you, no matter what you feel like, no matter what you see, no matter your emotions, no matter a doctor's report. Hold fast your confession of the Word of God. Hold fast to it. Don't let it go. You've got a high priest, which, by the way, verse 15, we have not a high priest which can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He has lived in skin. Is that good enough? He's lived in skin. He knows what it feels like. He understands that. But he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. And that means on your worst day. The day you failed. That we may obtain mercy. You don't need mercy unless you failed. Right? And you know what else you'll get? You'll find grace to help. What? In your time of need. Well, you're holding fast your confession. Maybe, I'll just use Gary. It's one of them I had on there smoking. Lord, I made it through day one. My flesh is going to kill me. He keeps telling me I'm going to die, and I feel like I'm going to die. Lord, you say I can go to heaven with this? No, but you say I won't fulfill your will. Oh God, I feel like going back to it. Everything in me wants to go back to it. Well, it was like that for a year. You hear me? It was a long time. Those people that tell you that you're free of addiction in 7 days, they were never addicted to nothing. I don't care. They read a book. That's all I know. They don't know what they're talking about. But anyway, that's the war. Now, what's my profession? No, nope, nope. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I know that I'm free. I don't care what I feel like. I don't care what my senses are telling me. I'm free and I'm going to stay free, devil. I'm not going back. I'm holding fast my confession of faith. I can do now, did I do that just like that? No, but the principle is there. And yes, I did that. Not exactly those words or anything, but I'm saying day by day by day by day. And eventually, what happens eventually, you retrain the flesh. It don't even want it anymore. Can't believe I ever did it. See? You know, it's the same thing. You could pick it. Pornography, drug use, alcohol, worrying, anything. It's the same. It's the same. It's not different. It's the same. Hold fast your profession of faith, your confession of the Logos. Say about you what God says about you. But that's not all. You also have to go to war. I had to quit. I had to literally quit. See, there's a preparation time, and then there's a war time. Well, what if I'd have failed? Start again. What if I had failed again? Start again. What if I failed that day? Start again. That's what Dave was saying. He wasn't justifying. He's saying, don't quit. I don't care if it's 70 times 7 in a day, don't quit. Get back up, dust yourself off. I am who the Word says I am. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we're going to war again. And you'll win too. Amen. Now, I've got some confessions for us. Y'all ready? It's a good for us now. You can just say this after me. Say, the Son has made me free from sin. the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I am bringing down every stronghold, every high thing, every imagination to the obedience of Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I've been made free from sin. I don't have to sin. I'm not an old sinner saved by grace. I am a new creature. All things have passed away, and all things have become new. I don't walk in darkness anymore. I walk in the light as He is in the light. I am a believer. In the name of Jesus, I cast out devils. I speak with new tongues. I lay hands on the sick and they recover. I have received power after the Holy Spirit came upon me. I have authority in the name of Jesus to kick down the gates of hell and set every captive free. I have been given authority over devils, over all devils. Devils are subject to me in His name. And nothing shall by any means hurt me. What I say comes to pass. In the name of Jesus. The gates of hell cannot prevail against me. In the name of Jesus, I kick down every gate. And I set every captive free. Can you feel it rising up in you? That's who you are. You're not some little, you know, Goliath. He sneered. He said, he looked at that little teenage boy, David. This is the way he looks at your spirit, by the way. It's the way he looks at your perception of your spirit. He says, I am a warrior, and you're treating me like a dog. You're sending out this teenage boy. He's not even dressed in armor. He was mocking and making fun. How long are you going to let him do that? I like what David said. You talk about holding fast. Now here's a teenage boy going out against a giant. The giant's in full armor. His shield is so big he has a helper to carry the shield and sword. And here you are. I'm not even going to look it up. David says, this day, I'm going to take your head from off your shoulders. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living God? I shall take your head from off your shoulders and I will feed your carcass to the fowl of the air. That's who you really are. Every giant stands there mocking, I've had you under my control all of these years. Who do you think you are? I am who the Word says I am. This day I'm going to take your head off your shoulders. You may have controlled me for all of these years, but I'm taking your head off your shoulders. I want to feed your carcass to the fowls of the air, and the land that you've been squatting on that belongs to me, I am going to possess that land. Amen? Amen? Give the Lord a hand. It's His word. Now that's what He's done, and it's time for us to quit cowering like Israel was when Goliath come out. It's time for us to go possess the land. There is no giant bigger than your God. God's not afraid of no facts. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all getting anything out of this? So, when we do confession now, that's not really warfare. That's not revival yet. That's working on us. We're not changing God, we're changing us. We're using the sword of the Logos internally to cut away flesh, cut away reasonings, cut away imaginations. We are who God says we are. We have what God says we have, and we can do what God says we can do. Start thinking about it. You're going to start developing a reputation in hell. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Sue, I know. Helena, I know. Dave, he already knows. Angie, I know. Pat, I know. Amen? I did really good. I don't usually do that good with names at this point. So anyway, that's pretty good. Y'all seeing this? Get the Word of God in your mouth. If you're not already doing it, and I'm going to go one step farther now. Because you had that, we've had the teaching on confession forever. Forever. What we're going to do now, though, get back into confession if you've let it drop. But it's also time to go to war. Whatever I can't now, it's not okay forever to just keep doing it and just confessing. We're not. That's the message through Nathan, really, right now. Yeah, pray, fast, meditate the Word, confess the Word, but go to war. What do you mean, Gary? Stop it. Your flesh is not going to like it. Why don't I just let Nathan teach all of these? It's so quiet when you teach these. And you know what the amazing thing is? He is not mad at any of us. You are God's hope in the earth. He's looking with pleasure on each and every one of you, and He's going, they're going to get it. Your biggest cheerleader is God, if you want to know the truth of it. They're going to get this. They're each one of them, Pat is my favorite, you're my favorite, you're my favorite. They're going to get this. They're going to rise up just like David did. They're going to rise up just like Jesus did. They're going to overcome every stronghold. They're going to cast out devils, heal the sick. Revival is coming to our land. Amen? Amen. All right. So rise up now. Get confession back as part of your daily thing. Face your giant.